This is Brian Cambria with this news for the KVNF listening area Monday, October 22, 2012. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel is reporting Delta County commissioners are expected to make a critical decision on a controversial 15,000-hen egg-laying operation today. KVNF has been reporting on this story. It has been more than 6 weeks since Delta County held a special public hearing on two applications, one for the currently operating cage-free chicken farm on Powell Mesa and another for a similar operation proposed for Redlands Mesa. That hearing was the result of an August decision by a district court judge who remanded the case back to commissioners for further public testimony. According to opponents of the operations, the county's own regulations state that a decision must be made within 14 days of the public hearing. When that deadline came and went, the opponents group filed again in district court on October 12th, seeking action. Late last week, the county scheduled an agenda item for its public meeting at 2 p.m. today at the Delta County Courthouse. Delta County Administrator Robbie LaValle said the commissioners will deliberate and make their decision then, and no more public testimony will be taken. Presidential election politics will invade Colorado again this week. GOP Vice Presidential candidate Paul Ryan held a rally at the Colorado Springs Airport last evening. Ryan is scheduled to visit West Pueblo and Durango today, then up to Grand Junction for a debate watch party this evening. The Denver Post reports Ryan will join GOP presidential nominee Mitt Romney tomorrow at their most ambitious Colorado rally to date, a starlit event at Red Rocks Amphitheater. President Barack Obama will hold a rally in Denver's City Park on Wednesday, part of a coast-to-coast campaign barnstorm of swing states that will take him to Iowa, Colorado, and Nevada in one day before flying overnight to Florida for Thursday events. Obama's City Park rally will be held in the Meadow between Farrell Lake and Denver Museum of Nature and Science. The visits come with voting in Colorado in full swing. Mail ballots, 70% of Colorado's 2.7 million active voters are permanent mail-in voters, by the way. Those mail ballots went out last week. Voting begins today. And most Colorado voters are expected to cast their ballots before Election Day this November 6th. Benta Berkland examines the trend of early voting.
Clara Martinez of Denver says she'll be voting by mail for the first time this November.
Because I got too lazy and I wanted to do it by mail-in, and it's just convenient and not having to rush and stand in line and stuff like that. I could vote in my pajamas.
Fort Collins resident Sarah Hunnell agrees that voting by mail is easier. She has two young children and says her husband will also vote by mail.
It's really wonderful just to get my mail-in ballot. I can take my time with my ballot. I don't feel rushed. I always read my blue book, so if I need to spread it out over a couple days, then I can do that too.
Several years ago, there was a push in Colorado to move to all-mail ballot elections. Oregon and Washington State already hold all-mail elections, and many county clerks in Colorado liked the idea and said it would save money. But in the end, the measure didn't have enough support. Rich Coolidge is a spokesman for the Colorado Secretary of State's office. He notes that voters also struck down the idea 10 years ago when the question was on the ballot.
I think voters have spoken and said, you know, there's a large block that do like mail ballots, but for the most part, there's still a group of people out there that no matter how many times they're asked if they want to vote by mail, still show up at early voting and still show up on Election Day. They want to vote the machines. They want to see their neighbors when they go into a polling center.
For instance, take Regina Ford. She works in downtown Denver and says she likes voting early to avoid Election Day crowds, but has no desire to vote by mail.
The mail-in ballot, sometimes I think it might get lost in the mail or something may happen with it. So when I go to the polling place, I know my vote will be counted.
According to the nonpartisan National Conference of State Legislatures, 32 states allow early voting. And in 2008, more than three-quarters of Colorado voters cast a ballot before Election Day. GOP groups across the country have been behind efforts to limit early voting, as it's seen to help Democratic voters. But Colorado State University political science professor John Strayer says he's not sure which party benefits.
It probably means that the money spent on the advertising gets you a little bit less for your dollar as each day passes because you've got a smaller there's a smaller chunk of the electorate left. But I think there's a pretty small chunk of the electorate left that hasn't made up their mind anyway.
The ground game and increasing turnout is crucial for both presidential campaigns and the down ticket races. That means more flyers, door knocks, and get out the vote phone calls for those who do wait to vote until Election Day. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Former Democratic State Representative Kathleen Curry is running for her old seat and accusing former supporters of illegally trying to influence the race. The Gunnison rancher is running for State House of Representatives District 61 as an unaffiliated voter against Democrat Millie Hamner of Dillon, Republican Deborah Irvine of Breckenridge, and David Petrowski with the American Constitution Party. As the Denver Post reports, Curry was first elected to the House in 2004, in part due to money from wealthy Democratic activists Tim Gill and Pat Stryker. However, these days, Curry is accusing them of funding false attacks against her. Curry said the liberal political group running the attacks broke Colorado law by knowingly publishing false information in order to affect the outcome of an election. Mailers and a radio ad accuse her of sponsoring a bill which sides with insurance companies to deny coverage for mammograms. Curry claims this is untrue. Quoting Curry, "The bill did not do what they are claiming. In fact, I am on record supporting mammogram coverage." Curry met Friday with a DA investigator in Montrose. Both Republicans and Democrats are accusing the other side of employing tough tactics to win the majority on November 6th. Republicans hold only a 33-32 edge in the House. House Minority Leader Mark Ferrandino, a Democrat from Denver, noted that the attacks against Curry are not from House Democrats, but an outside group, he said, the Colorado Accountable Government Alliance. The group has raised more than $2 million from a variety of sources, including unions and Gill and Stryker. Gill and Stryker were among the four Democrats who were instrumental in financing the Democratic takeover of the State House and Senate in 2004, the first time Republicans weren't in control of both chambers since 1962. Curry changed her party affiliation from Democrat to unaffiliated before the 2010 session. Because of election laws at the time, she was unable to get on the ballot as an unaffiliated candidate and had to wage a write-in campaign, which she lost. Republicans that year won back the majority by one seat. Colorado's unemployment rate dropped 0.2% last month to 8%. According to the State Labor Department, the decrease is due to a larger increase in the number of people reporting their status as employed than the increase in those actively participating in the labor force. The national unemployment rate decreased over the same period to 7.8%. Non-farm payroll jobs were up by 7,000 from August to September, and private sector payroll jobs increased 4,400, and government increased 2,600. The largest over-the-month private sector gains were in education and health services, trade, transportation, and utilities. The largest over-the-month decline was in manufacturing. Firefighters were getting the upper hand on several fires burning in southwest Colorado over the weekend. The Durango Herald reported that fire officials declared the Little East Fire near the La Plata-Montezuma County line fully contained Saturday afternoon. Personnel from Fort Lewis Mesa Fire Protection District will continue to monitor the burn until the fire is completely extinguished. Firefighters made good progress on the 222-acre Vallecito Fire, located west of Vallecito Reservoir on the San Juan National Forest. The fire was about 25% contained as of yesterday evening. Management of the fire has been turned over to local authorities this morning. Two 20-person hotshot crews will remain to monitor the fire's behavior and call for aircraft as needed. The larger Goblin Fire, burning in the Weminuche Wilderness above Animas Canyon near Needleton, is estimated at 700 acres and continues to burn. According to a news release, a minimal fire crew is watching the fire to make sure it does not spread beyond certain parameters, as they say. This is a high-priority fire, what is known as a full suppression fire. However, due to the high elevation, in places the fire is burning above 11,000 feet, and steep, dangerous terrain, firefighters are targeting natural boundaries and safer terrain for containment. High-technology sensors, including infrared flyovers, are being used to monitor the fire's growth. These efforts will continue until cooling weather and the coming winter further diminish fire activity. It is believed the fire was sparked by a Durango and Silverton narrow-gauge railroad train earlier this month. However, the fire is not threatening the train tracks or any structures. There's a lot of talk about cutting the amount of saturated fat in what we eat, but what about salt? It's been called the forgotten killer. From Colorado Public News, Carol McKinley reports that salt is hidden in foods you'd least expect, and the half of Americans who are at risk should be paying more attention.
What is that?
A Big Mac.
So, tastes pretty good?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
20-year-old Bruno Varela is eating half of his recommended daily allowance of salt in just one fast food hamburger, around 1,000 milligrams. He's in a hurry, and like many young Americans, salt is not on his radar.
Don't really pay much attention to it.
But experts say we should. Too much salt can be a killer, especially for middle-aged Americans with high blood pressure. In fact, the disease has become a huge problem for a third of us, and that can lead to heart failure and stroke.
94 and 107. It's good.
Good. Heart patients exercising at Exempla Lutheran's Cardiac Rehab Center are constantly monitored for blood pressure. Cardiac nurse Gail Anderson says salt is deadly for them. It causes fluid retention, forcing a weak heart to work harder.
If you think about your heart as a pump and you have piping all through your body, it puts extra strain on the pump so that pretty soon the pump becomes weakened. And it doesn't pump as well.
After 72-year-old Joe Lederhaus, cardiologist, discovered his heart was weak, he changed his life. Now he combines rigorous treadmill workouts with walking outdoors, and he has ended his love affair with salt.
I can tell when I eat salt, I just swell up. Yeah, I can gain 3 pounds in a day. Just from water retention. So I try to stay away from it. Things that you wouldn't think were that salty are just loaded with salt.
Like what?
Oh, well, marinara sauce is one of them. Dressings, clam chowder, which I love.
Canned soups, spaghetti sauce, and fast foods are major culprits. But under pressure from health organizations, some companies are responding. Conagra Foods, which makes Chef Boyardee and Egg Beaters, is one. Conagra Vice President Mark Andon says they're halfway to their goal of reducing sodium by 20% by 2015.
So it's about a 10% reduction that we've accomplished so far. And that is equivalent to 5 million pounds of salt. Year.
Gail Anderson says preparing fresh meals at home with other spices like rosemary and thyme can be real habit changers.
And when you get off of salt, when you eat a salty meal, you're like, ooh, my tongue's burning, and it really doesn't taste that great.
Anderson recommends 2,000 milligrams of salt a day, about a teaspoon, but most Americans consume twice that.
Life is terminal. You're not going to get out of here alive. But I think that you can be smarter about what you eat.
A step Joe Lederhaus intends to keep taking.
But why do you do this in the morning?
Well, it's better than the alternative, right?
Several health advocacy groups are calling for the federal government to regulate salt in food, claiming it could save 150,000 lives. Carol McKinley, Colorado Public News.
Governor John Hickenlooper has ordered flags to be lowered to half-staff tomorrow in memory of Veronica Moser Sullivan. The 6-year-old was killed on July 20th in the Aurora movie theater. A private funeral mass will be held tomorrow in Denver. Flags were lowered in the days after the shooting in memory of those killed in the theater and raised again July 29th after the last scheduled funeral. And to repeat our top story, Delta County commissioners are expected to make a decision on two controversial chicken farms in the county at their 2 p.m. meeting today. This concludes the morning newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.